Well, thank everyone for being here this evening. Most of you know, and some of you don't, but I'm not the normal preacher here. It's Jim Everett, and there's a lot of new people moving into the area, a lot of young couples moving in. And just to let you know, for those who have done so recently, this congregation affords you the opportunity, I believe it's twice a month on Sunday evenings, to come before the congregation and to try to give a lesson and to build up your spirituality and become more adept at doing so. I don't take advantage of that near as often as I should be. And at this point in the introduction, most people generally turn to elders and thank them for the opportunity to be up here. Right now, I'm going to turn to elders and say thank you for coaxing me into getting up here. So if you need a push, they'll be more than happy to do that for you to get you up here. So I prepared a few things, and we'll see if I can get through them tonight. Generally, like I said, I give a lesson once or twice a year. And what works best for me is to go back and apply something that fits well in my life, something I've learned in the past that I can apply, and hopefully others have had those same experiences or problems and try to help you deal with those. So that's what I'll be attempting to do tonight. And the lesson mainly tonight is going to be given to the young people specifically. And there are going to be some things in here for the parents to do. Some statistics I'm going to show later that will be fairly surprising about how parents react to children and some problems that they do face today. I do want to say that we have a great group of young people here. We are very proud, especially of those young people in the past weeks that have been baptized and put on Christ in their life. We're very proud of you people. As far as peer pressure goes, usually peer pressure is brought up in a negative activity or respective, and I want you to think that I want you to know that the kids, the ones that have been baptized, that is a great type of peer pressure to let those around you know that have lacked that in their life and not have put on Christ yet, that you are a great example for them, and we applaud you for doing that. There's a lot of things about being young that's hard to do, and we touched on it some on class this morning, but one of the hardest things to do as a young person is to gain wisdom. It's something that doesn't come naturally. You have to work at it. You have to try. You have to strive for it. Through experiences, a lot of times, is how you gain wisdom, the application of knowledge to things you have done that have been either wrong or right, and if they've been wrong for you, you have learned from them and passed forward and become wise into those experiences. I want to read a few just verses out of Proverbs, and from time to time, young people, as you have difficulties or want a place to go to look for strength, there are a lot of good Proverbs that you can go to and rejoice in these words and help build you up. I'm going to go through them fairly fast. I do have a lot to say tonight, and I don't know if I have enough time, but Proverbs 12:11 says, "He who tills the land will have plenty of bread, but he who pursues vain lacks sense." Proverbs 14, verse 7, "Leave the presence of a fool, or you will not discern the words of knowledge." In Proverbs 16:29, "A man of violence entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good." In Proverbs 22:24, "Do not associate with a man given to anger, or to go with a hot-tempered man." There's a lot of good things in Solomon. David talked to Solomon, his son, and gave him a lot of advice in Proverbs about how to handle things as he grew and what to do. And part of this lesson, again, is going to be directed to the parents. There are things, through my experiences, as we grew up, that it seems to me like maybe our parents thought, not put any blame on any of our parents, but that we were necessarily doing the right things all the time that we should be doing. And my parents didn't always take the opportunity to talk to me about things that were hard topics to talk about. So that's what we're going to deal with tonight, some things that are hard topics to deal with. And parents, if you will talk with your kids, we're going to see how that can help you. I'll go back, and Jim knows this person well, but I'll tell you a true story. A preacher named Leon Odom, and many of you may know him. When he first started preaching in his early preaching days, he told the true story of the four elderly ladies that sit on the front row up here, listening to him preach. And he was a young preacher, and he was getting into his lesson, and really getting after his points, and disturbed every now and then by the tuning of the hearing aids, a little bit somewhat disturbing, but he was really going. And he'd get up to give his invitation, and he thought he'd just given a real powerful lesson. And one of the oldest, most elderly ladies over here got up and started walking out towards the aisle. And he thought to himself, this lady is so old. What sin could she have possibly committed? Well, she proceeds on up to the aisle, and he reaches out and grabs her hand and says, bless you, Sister Mary. And she turned and looked at him, slapped him on the hand, said, get away from me, Leon. I'm going to the bathroom. But my point is, as you become older, there are a lot of temptations. And he was shocked to somebody is coming forward at this age. Yes, we all have problems no matter how old we are. Don't get me wrong. But the younger people especially have a problem. As you become older, as you become more experienced, you do put certain things behind you. And that's what I want, one of the points I want to get across tonight. As temptations come and you face them head on and you tackle them, put them behind you. Because once they're behind you, they can be behind you forever and you can move forward. So if you do make a mistake, get it behind you and then progress forward. These saints can be stepping stones as you mature as a Christian and help you through your life. I'm going to go back today, and I am addressing again the young people of the audience. Please don't misunderstand me. I am not accusing our young people of anything. I think we have a great group of young people here. I'm simply going back to past experiences in my life with a group of young people that I grew up with, and I want to tell you some of the problems that group experienced. So I'm going to have a little time warp here. And this row right here and the row behind it, we all came up there and we all gathered. And the parents to the elders, the parents to our family, the parents to the rest congregations, is that we were angels and we were acting the way that we should all the time. And that's not the case. So I'm going to go back into that time warp, and there is a group of people that sit up on those rows that need to hear this lesson tonight. This lesson is going back 20 years. For those people to hear this lesson. If this happens to apply to you, then go ahead and apply it, and that'll be great. But again, parents, I'm not accusing any of your children of doing things that they shouldn't have been, but again, we don't want to be naive and say that our kids are perfect either. Want to tackle some of these problems. This congregation is different than the one that I attended, and I hope I don't slip up and mention the congregation. I practiced in front of Kathy, and two times I said that. I don't know if I said it yet, but some of you know where I did attend, but I don't mean to give a bad name to anybody or people that may have grown up with me. And my sister is in the audience, and she did grow up with me, so. But she sit on the other side. So we'll leave her out of it tonight. This congregation is much different from that congregation, but my experience is that as problems happen, that there is a pendulum effect, and things get better and problems happen again. And I don't know where we are in that effect. I'm kind of out of touch with young people, but here goes back, like I said, to that group 20 years ago, things that we needed to do. There are certain things, as you put problems behind you, things are, and you look forward as young people and say, what is happening to me now? Why is this so hard for me? Why are peer pressures and why are temptations so great for me? When will they start to relax, and when can I start to beat things? And like I said, if you just tackle one thing at a time, you can put them behind you. But there are events that trigger responsibility or trigger maturity in people's lives. And for myself, I'm going to a whole lot of story, but I was out of the home and on my own at the age of 17, and then 2 years from then, I got married at the age of 19. Those 2 years, I had a lot of problems, and some of you are moving away from home and getting on your own, and you may experience a lot of problems at those times. That was a hard time for me. But a triggering event is becoming married and becoming responsible to another person for your life, and that may be a triggering event for you to put a lot of things behind you and move forward, and you become more responsible. Another triggering event may be a tragedy that happened to you and make you realize, and that's part of wisdom, not to have to experience things yourself to learn from them. Children, a lot of times, will be a triggering event for young couples who may not be as mature as they should be at the time to put things behind them and move forward. But every time you can take one of these temptations or one of these weaknesses that you have and get it behind you, just move that much forward, and you can become more grounded and well secure in the faith. Why do we experience peer pressure? And Jim this morning talked briefly about it and said that we always have the opportunity or want the people around us to like us. And at first, I've always been one of those people that says, I don't care what people think about me, that I'll do what's right. But more the reflecting I have done it, there are things that people think about us that bother us. And I will have to agree with that. When does peer pressure quit bothering you? And just a brief story that happened to me when I was in my mid-20s. A lot of things I had put behind me, a lot of things, like I said, once you get them behind you, you can forget about them. But I was out playing golf with some friends and or some people I don't normally play golf with, really. And just surprises sometimes will hit you, and if you're not prepared, you don't know how you react. We made the turn at 9, and some guys went some refreshments, and I went on up to the next hole. And as soon as I turned around, one of them threw a beer in my hand. And I was so unprepared for that to happen. I had no idea what to do. I grabbed it, and it was in my hand, and then I didn't know what to do. So I got back in my cart, put it in my cart, and part of being a hypocrite, I was a hypocrite at that point. I had enough about me not to drink the beer. I didn't want the beer, but I didn't have enough about me to tell the people I didn't want to. I wanted them to think that I drank the beer, so I opened up the beer and I poured it out. And I went on a little more and I poured out some more until I got rid of it. I got the problem away from me, but I was a hypocrite, and I had the opportunity to stand forth to those people and to let them know what I was about, and I missed that opportunity. So sometimes there are just things that happen to you you're not prepared for, you need to deal with. And in that time, I learned from that because it bothered me so much that never happened to me again. I just said no thanks and never took it again. So there are things that you can build on and put them behind you. A lot of reasons that the group on this front row thought that we could maybe get away with things, or that group, I say me, I'm not saying, I'm going to mention some things that happened later, but I'm not saying I was a part of all that happened. But as part of that group, the reason that people think they can get away with things is mainly because that God, that we think that nobody knows about it. I'm going to go to a couple of verses we did read in class this morning. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. And at that time, each will receive his praise from God. And then in Hebrews 4, verse 3, now ye have been believed, enter into rest, just as God declared. Verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and spirit, joints and marrows. It judges the thoughts and intents of the heart. Nothing in creation is hidden from God's sight. And when I was young, I heard this lesson before. I heard those voices or those verses read before. And those verses didn't move me to act any differently than I had been acting before. So I thought, okay, I'm going to give this lesson tonight. What is going to motivate anybody else to listen to me when I didn't particularly listen to anybody else when they presented that lesson to me? If you go back with me, not only does God know, God does know. You know. Your friends know. I know. And after this lesson, your parents are going to know. I want you to look at it that aspect. Look at it that everybody is aware of what you do when you are wrong. And that in itself can be a motivation to stay away from those types of things. I want to talk a little bit, and this may go in even to the younger people, generally the lessons for high school age students, but this is going to go a little bit earlier than that. I want to talk about cursing for a minute. Brett started the 8th grade this year. He rode the bus, and getting on the bus, going to junior high, you have 6th, 7th, 8th grade. Brett was really looking forward to this because he's the big dog on the bus now. he gets to decide what happens and what goes on. So he gets on the bus confidently and walks to the back. And if you know, if you're a 6th or 7th grader, you can't go to the back unless you're an 8th grader. So he went to the back, and he was back there for a few minutes, and the peer pressure and the kids wanting to impress each other so great that pretty much all that was happening was cursing. And they were trying to impress each other with their vocabularies and which words they knew. And Brett, praise him for this, respectively, got up promptly and moved to the front of the bus and went to sit with the younger folks. I don't know at that age had I had the nerve or guts to do that. But he did great by doing that, and he came home and told us about it. But it's out there. It happens. We talked about this this morning. Paul did it. Most young kids out there have done it. Most of the adults have done it. And to us to be naive and to think that it doesn't happen, it happens. Or has happened in our past life. This is something that you can put behind you, and something that is relatively easy to put behind you, especially if you don't get started into it. You can develop very bad habits, and as your speech, thoughts, and patterns go, it can be something that's very hard to break. So I encourage you, don't even get started into it. And there is a lot of things that as young people, that brothers and sisters are good about enforcing. I grew up in a family of five, and we couldn't get away with a whole lot without somebody ratting on us. But if one of us slipped up and said a curse word, that's something that generally went unreported. And specifically because the other person was guilty of it also, so if we told on one, we were telling on the other. So that if you just won't ever get wrapped up in it, you won't have a problem. It's just something that takes a strong will and to stay away from it. I'll turn to Ephesians 4:22 through 30. Briefly go over some verses that can help us and influence others and be good influences for others. Yet in reference to your former manner of life, that you lay aside the old self which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self which is God and has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Therefore, laying aside all falsehood, speaking truth, each one of you to his neighbor, as we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not the sun go down upon your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity. Let him who steals steal no more, but rather let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good, in order that he may share with him who has need. Verse 29 especially, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such as is good for edification according to the need, that it may give grace to those who hear. Another thing that faces our young people and becomes a problem is drinking, the temptation of alcohol. And we all know, or should know, 1 Corinthians 15:3 or 15:33 says, "Be not deceived, bad company corrupts good morals." And we all knew that. As growing up as a young person, I knew that. And there were friends that I terminated relationships with because of that. And there are other friends that I wish I had terminated relationships that I didn't. But if we can put that foremost in our minds, that the evil companions can, it can make us make mistakes that we normally wouldn't want to. You know, you think about the alcohol and how easy accessible it is. Is in preparing this lesson, I sat down with my boys and we talked, and I thought, and some of the statistics I'll show you just shortly, at what age. Generally, the average age that a child first takes a drink, and it's staggering. And my kids are reaching that age, so I talk to them. And I think, well, how would they get access to alcohol, and how would they obtain alcohol? And just generally discussion with their friends that live on the street. There are two friends that live on the street. Their fathers have refrigerators in the garages full of beer. And I don't know what that is, if some kind of safety net for guys that make them feel comfortable have a refrigerator full of beer. But it would be nothing for one of those kids to sneak a can out of there and to start experimentation with that. So it's there. It's easy to get to. If you think you don't have it in your house and it's not a problem, it's still a problem. And it's easy to get to. Again, smoking. Smoking is something that with all the health problems and things that have been brought to light lately, I think the problem is not near as strong as it used to be. I know a man that I did go to church with. He's now in his 60s, that he has been trying to quit smoking for about the last 20 years. He has tried everything that you could think of. He's tried therapy, hypnosis, acupuncture, patches, prescriptions, everything. And the man still smokes, and he wants to give up so bad he don't know what to do. So, again, avoid those things, and you won't have to deal with them. You won't be in that kind of a boat that he is in. I want to read Proverbs 1, 10 through 19. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come and let us lie in wait for blood, let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole, as those who go down the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious wealth. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Though in your lots with us, we shall have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path. For their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. Indeed, it is useless to spread the net in the eyes of any bird. But they lay in wait for their own blood, and they ambush their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. It takes away the lives of its possessors. In Proverbs 3, 1 through 7. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace will add unto you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the table of your heart. So you will find favor with a good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean upon your own understanding. In the ways of all knowledge, he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. I'm going back now, and I'm talking again to those two groups of people on that front row 20 years ago. And I want to start off by saying to that group that there is a group of you that sits on those rows right now that has not accepted Lord and baptism. And I can look 20 years into the future and tell you that you never will. Your opportunity has been missed. Maybe that applies to some other people here, maybe it doesn't. But I can tell those people they missed their opportunity. Some things that I am no way proud of or want to gloat in, but these are some things that happened within the group of young people that I went in. And they may I can say to those two rows, you're guilty of this. You're guilty of smoking. You're guilty of drinking, of dancing and going to clubs. You're guilty of going to bars. You're guilty of doing drugs. You're guilty of solicitation of prostitution. You're guilty of homosexuality. You're guilty of DWIs. You're guilty of pregnancy outside of wedlock. And those are some of the things that went on. And being part of that younger age group, we knew. So a lot of you young people know what the other young people are doing. And people like myself and people like the elders don't necessarily know what's going on. The elders knew about one or two of those problems I just mentioned, but they didn't know about all of them. A lot of those things can be hid, and that can be one reason that we don't put them away so easy, because we think that we're getting away from them. I have to go back and look at the attitudes of hearts. Why did these things happen? And I can remember at the age of 17 listening to two young girls talk. I wasn't part of their conversation, but I did hear what was going on. I had one of them specifically, I'll never forget, a 13-year-old girl was talking to another 13-year-old girl, and she said, would you have sex with a boy, your boyfriend, when you grow up? And the response was, well, if I loved him, I would. At 13, she had already made the decision how she would act later in life. And that just shocked me to hear that coming from a 13-year-old girl. But after hearing that, I don't think it would shock you to know that the girl got pregnant at 16 and had a child. And that's what happened. There was another young man, the attitude has changed, or his heart was. And he made the statement to me many times, I'll try anything at least once. And I know there are people out there that will say that. And that is a common thinking among people today. I'll try anything at least once. And believe me, he did. He did. He even tried Christianity once also. In that young group of people that sit on those front two rows, I try to go back and reflect of all those that are still involved in the church. And we all know people, if we were raising the church, that have fallen away. And those years after we first move out of home were the crucial years to decide where our lives are going to go, where they're going to head, what we're going to become, how faithful we're going to be in the future. And I can't put an exact number on it, but I'm going to say 20 to 30% of those kids are still in the church today. And I think that's a staggering low number. And it's not very successful at all. And you think, well, and you hear a lot of times, well, marry a Christian. That will increase your chances. I truly believe that will help. But there was a couple that did marry each other. And I hadn't talked to them in a number of years. And Kathy made contact with them a while back. And they live in Dallas. And we asked them a question, or Kathy did, were you attending church? And the answer was, well, we don't go to church anymore. We go to brunch. And it's just a sad state of affairs. And Kathy went on to talk. She was concerned about him. And just a flat statement came out, well, we don't even know if we believe in God anymore. So you have to make the foundation strong now. Be prepared for things that can happen to you. You have to get ready now. Bad things can happen. Again, to go back and look at that group, I want to tell that group one more time. There's a group of you that are above accountable age that need to accept the Lord and need to be buried in baptism. But you're not going to do it. And I can tell you for certainty, you're not going to do it. Because it never happened for him. And I've given you some verses. I told you about some experiences that happened when I was growing up. I want to go to actually some statistics. That were published. And I called little John up on the phone and got some help from him. He got with a DARE officer and got me some statistics on drugs and alcohol. I'd like to share a few of these with you. And some of these just really will set you back. 50% of the American kids, parents, please listen to this. 50% of the American kids between the age of 12 and 20, half of them, had a drink last month. The highest rate of illicit drug use were found between the ages of 16 and 20. That four-year age group accounts for 36% of the illicit drug use in America. 80%, and I think this was a little higher maybe when I was in school, but 80% of high school seniors have used alcohol. 65% have smoked cigarettes, and I know that was a lot higher then. And like I said, some of those statistics are coming down. 50% of high school students have used marijuana, and 10% have used cocaine. Approximately two-thirds of the teenagers that drink alcoholic beverages buy them on their own. So don't think because your kid's not 21, he can't get a hold of it. Two-thirds of them buy it on their own. If they can't, they're going to get a friend that's got enough nerve to go up to the counter and try to get it themselves. If they want to get it, they're going to get it. This really shocked me. I have a 13-year-old son, for all of you that don't know. First use of alcohol typically begins at the age of 13. Marijuana at the age of 14. 9% of the nation's 8th graders, 22% of 10th graders, and 33% of 12th graders were drunk last month. Respectively, 12% of 8th graders, 20%, 22% of 10th graders, and 26% of 12th graders used an illicit drug last month. When I was a senior, when I was that age with that group of people, something that I never had a problem with and did not appeal to me was alcohol. I could not stand the taste of alcohol. That did not appeal for me. That was never a problem. That was one of the problems I put behind me very early. It did not have to deal with. The kids today, the makers of these alcoholic beverages have become smarter. they have found ways to get our young people involved in it. This is a staggering statistic. Junior and senior high school students drink 35% of all the wine coolers sold in the United States. Over one-third of them are drunk by junior and senior high school students. They make it taste better. They put some fruit in it and make it easier to swallow. And they get them involved that way. Over a third of them. College students, we have some guys going off to college here. College is a tough time. And hopefully everybody that is going to college is prepared for college. But 40% of the students that go to college right now have binged in the last 2 weeks alone. The definition of binge is 5 or more drinks in a row. That's 40% in the last 2 weeks. A clear relationship exists between the use of alcohol and grade point average among college students. Students with GPAs of D or F drink 3 times as much as those who earn A's. And as preparing this lesson, Kathy and I were talking, and she went to share with me the valedictorian of their high school class. The highest grade point average in that class went off to Texas Tech, to school. She flunked out in the first semester, came back home, never go to college again. She got there and started partying and drinking heavily and could never get past that. She liked it too much. And she ruined everything she had worked for in high school to graduate top in her class and to flunk out of high school right away, or to college right away. 80% of the teenagers don't know that a 12-ounce can of beer has the same amount of alcohol as a shot of whiskey. And 55% don't know that a 5-ounce glass of wine has the same amount of alcohol as a 12-ounce can of beer. Now, we're going to talk about some elementary kid schools now. Grades 4 through 6. Almost one-third. 30% of the kids in grades 4 through 6 report received, in quotations, a lot of pressure from their classmates to drink beer. That's 30%. More than 30%, 31% have received a lot of pressure to try marijuana, grades 4 through 6. And 34% to try cigarettes, 4 through 6. And the one that gets me most of all is the very last one here. Teenagers whose parents talk to them regularly about the dangers of drugs are 42% less likely to participate than those whose parents don't. Anybody want to guess about the amount of parents that actually do talk to their kids? 1 in 4 parents talk to their kids about these problems. It's only 1 in 4. We got problems out there, people. We need to talk to our kids. We need to find out what they're doing. We need to find out what their friends are doing. We need to combat some of these problems. And if you have participated in these, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're a bad person. We all have weaknesses. We all have the chance for forgiveness. And Jesus came and died for us. He gave his life that we could have our sins forgiven. These kind of things can be put behind us. These kind of things can be overcome. We can be productive leaders in the church. We can be strong Christians, and we can raise strong Christian families. I had Jerry lead a lot of songs this morning, or the songs that he led this evening. I had him pick some out of talking about Jesus being a friend of ours. And there's a lot of things that may happen to us, and we can never look directly and solely to our parents or to the elders or to people for guidance all the time, because they do make mistakes. I've made mistakes in the past, and I wouldn't want my kids to look to me for the right answers all the time. I try to guide them in the right directions, but we all do make mistakes. But Jesus is the one that we can look to. He's the one that we can turn to. He's the hope of our salvation. John 15, 13 and 14. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. And Jesus truly is a friend of ours. And I'm a friend of yours. I'm interested in your well-being, and there are many people here that are interested in your well-being. And we want you to get through these problems and get through the problems of youth and to become strong Christians and to develop and become more mature. If anybody at this time has need to come forward and have prayers of saints or wish to receive the Lord in baptism, we ask that you come so as we stand and sing.